Okay, let us begin. We're on page Kuf Dalet. We are on page Kuf Dalet, Halachat Sadi Hey. Halachat Sadi Hey. It touches upon the sugya of being mispalel for the impossible. The Sefer Hasidim discusses the sugya, the topic of praying for the impossible. Don't be mispalel for something that's not realistic. Le'olam al yivakesh adam. Le'olam means never ever. Under no condition should a person be mispalel for something impossible to happen. For example, he gives a very simple, this is not so impossible today. This is what? Exactly, that's true. That's true, right? To make parnas be mispalel for parnas without going to work. How about that one? What? To win the lottery is not impossible. Now he writes over here, which is not impossible. Over here he writes something which we have to go back to the time of Gemara. The time of Gemara, it was impossible for a child to be born and remain alive if he was born 8 months, in the 8th month. Okay, ad kidei kach, to such a degree that the child is a muksa. If a baby is born 8 months into a woman's pregnancy, the child is for sure going to die, and the child is muksa. The child is muksa. A woman, a mother, is not allowed to touch the baby. If she is in pain because she needs to nurse the baby, she can nurse the baby for her own benefit to release milk, but is not allowed to touch the baby. The baby is a goner. Now today, obviously, there's no such thing. Women give birth to children 8 months all the time. The way I once read an article explaining what this means, it doesn't mean, even when Chazal talk about an 8 month baby, it means a deformity in the baby. It means that when a woman gives birth today to a baby that's in her 8th month, what it really means is it's a 9-month-old baby or it's a 7-month-old baby that's just late in coming out or early in arriving. The concept of 8 months means that it's set on a cycle in its DNA, in its makeup, that it will develop in the morning, that it will develop in 8 months. In other words, there's something fundamentally wrong with the child. Today, if a woman gives birth when she's in her 8th month, it just means this is a healthy child that just didn't want to come out. So it means it was a 7th month child. There are two different types of children. There are children that are on the fast track and children on the slow track. The fast track means it's ready, it's fully developed after 7 months. Then there's the slow track. It's fully developed after 9 months. It doesn't mean you have to stay in prison for 7, 9 months. You can come out earlier, come out later, based on good behavior or bad behavior. Okay, but over here he says, "Le'olam al yivakesh adam me'akadosh baruch hu davar she'en roi kegoyin she'telet isha l'ches chodoshim v'yichye havolad." That his wife should give birth to a child after 8 months and the child should live. That's not possible. Oh, yeh rotzon she'yek b'karche hayom, I should fly to the Kar Chayam, to the islands. Afalpi, in other words, I want to close my eyes and wake up. I should be in the Caribbeans. I should be in Eretz Yisrael. I should get there in record time. Something along those lines. In 1 second, he says, in the parish, I should arrive there. I think we're out. I think we ran out. Maybe I have one more in my bag. Maybe I have one more. He's coming.
Today is the outside of the box. Tomorrow is
a person should not be misspelled in 1 second. He should close his eyes and should wake up and he should be in the other end of the world. Why? Now here he says something very interesting. Even though we're not limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu from doing miracles. Hashem can do the impossible. Nevertheless, HaRei Zeh Tehillat Shav. This is a waste of time. You don't live in a world of miracles. We live in a very practical, real world. Operates according to the laws of science, and it's impossible, so don't be misspelled for the impossible. You have to be realistic. And this has many practical nafkamines when it comes to people that are the elderly people who are very sick. And the question is, Yidavin Shemona Esrei, people who are serious daven. I'm not talking about people who don't daven. I'm talking about people that really daven, people that are serious daveners. And when they're serious, you know, they can daven for a lot of things. Should they spend time, effort, davening for a person that is terminally ill to recover? when the doctors say that according to our experience, this person will not live. He will not live more than a short period of time. And you're, let's say, dealing with responsible doctors who tell people these things, should people be mispalel that he should nevertheless live miraculously, should live on longer? Is it a proper approach in chinuch to go tell children, you have a yeshiva, and you tell the children in yeshiva, everyone should go and say Tehillim? Who are you saying Tehillim for? A person who all of the doctors have said is not going to live more than a day. It's over. So why are you teaching children to be mispalel that a miracle should happen and he should recover? Now, miracles happen. No one's coming to deny the fact that people who doctors write off as goners miraculously come back. Okay, that's wonderful. But is it a proper thing for a person to be mispalel for that to happen when it's not realistic? What kind of message are you sending other children who are very vulnerable too, very, very sensitive, to be trained in a wrong, to be trained in this way? And even for yourself, you have to live, you have to be practical in this world. And the more you want to live in a world of fantasy, the more you're going to be disappointed down the line, and that disappointment leads to frustration, and it can, down the line, be very, very harmful. I really see it a lot of times. We live today in a fantasy world. And Baruch Hashem, a lot of it is because in America, anyone can have whatever you want. You can be whatever you want, you can have whatever you want. You have to work hard, or you have to do this, you have to know how to play the game right. And what happens when you don't get what you want? You're frustrated. And that frustration can be a real issue. If it's a severe frustration, it could lead to a person doing very dangerous things when it comes to that depression, that he did not get what he wants because he was trained that you could have whatever you want. If you go and you tell children, this guy is a goner, every single doctor has said he doesn't have more than a day to live, but you know what? We're going to be mispalel. Afilu chedev chada munachas al tzavaroi shel adam al yisyayesh mina poronos. It's impossible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make miracles. The person's going to live. He's going to survive. He's going to be healthy. And he's going to come back. And everything's going to be fine. And it doesn't happen. So what kind of message have you taught?
This is the
Yeah, that, we're talking about tefillah. We're reading over here. We're reading over tefillah shav. What?
It's not only for sick
first. We're reading over here. V'shishayesh yicholitz b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asoyz kein, harei ze tefillah shav. This is a tefillah shav. Miracles happen. People who are written off as dead, even people who are in the morgue, they come back to life. However, to be mispalel that it should happen, that is called a tefillas shav. To go around and tell people, okay, the guy is a goner, and we're now going to be mispalel that he should come back to life. That's a tefillas shav. Now, there is such a thing as being mispalel that he should die in peace. That's very different. There's a meaning that when a person is dying, you mispalel. Why you mispalel? Because it's a traumatic event. It's a traumatic event for him, for the person who's dying, and for everyone else. So when the person is in the matzah of trauma, what do? You mispalel to Hashem. But your focus of the tefillah is not that he should come back to life. Your focus of tefillah at that moment in time is to connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's everything is in your hands, and I'm here just to acknowledge what's happening here is the Yad Hashem, and We're accepting it, and we're connecting to you through tefillah. But it doesn't mean that your kavan is, I'm now going to fight it off. I'm going to fight the impossible. There has to be a degree of realism. Well, what is an incurable disease?
Someone's in hospice. Could you make a mishaberach for them?
I don't know what to say. What are the statistics? The statistics are that you want to make a mishmer, they should live another few days. Yes. Okay, you make a mishmer, they should live another week. Okay, there's something called chaye shah. What exactly is chayesh? Or no one knows what this means. One thing is for sure: if a person is awake, he's conscious. That's already a whole different league. When the person is in a coma and doesn't appear to know what's going on, what does that mean exactly? I don't know. No one knows what these are. New things we never had. These things did not exist in time of Chazal. Time of Chazal, there's no such thing as modern medicine. You can preserve a person on machines for years. It didn't exist. People, they got sick, they died, 1, 2, 3. This whole thing didn't exist. So we're trying to take out a Chazal, Chayesha, and apply it to the 21st century, and to artificially allow a person to live for years, and in the process torture a family, and in the process run up bills that are just astronomical. How does all this work?
No, so you're saying you could...
I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying to pull the plug, Chas v'shalom. I'm not saying no, I'm not saying to pull the plug, but what about a DNR?
Right.
What about a DNR? I've heard much more often in all Rachmanos and the situations that I'm aware of, I've heard probably 90% of the time, big Rabbanim advising family, do not do a DNR. Do not. At Khan. Person is in this matzav, no heroics. That's
Do a DNR, right.
Do not resuscitate. I'm sorry. Do a DNR. Don't sign off. Sign off on a DNR. Do not go and insist.
Let God make it.
Or, I don't know. When was the last time you let God make the choice? When was the last time?
Either way, he's going to make the choice.
This is something we live today. You see this more and more often. We're living today in a world of fantasy, of Kabbalah, of mysticism, of segulos, that all of these impossible things that should happen. There's something called being realistic. And he writes here a person that says, and this is not so, this you would think for us, not such a big deal. My wife should give birth to a child in 8 months, an 8-month-old child, and should live a healthy life. Okay, today children, you know, today we've seen a lot more impossible things happen. And I want to close my eyes and wake up, I should be on the other end of the world. You know, it's not so far-fetched to do that today. Today you can close your eyes, and in a matter of minutes, they can transport you very quickly, as long as you have a police escort, no traffic, they can get you on a plane and they can get you somewhere very, very fast. But he says you want to do things that are ridiculous. Hare ze tefilas shav. Next, also likvay betefilas shavach acher nu halacha. You're not allowed to add into the davening an additional baracha. There are 18/19 blessings. Do not invent another bracha. Do not insert another bracha. You have no right to add new blessings into the Shemona Esrei. Of course, you can pad the original 18/19 blessings with more praises and more private bakashas according to halacha, but you're not allowed to add new blessings. I will call Hayom Kulim Rosalim Ashiyos Vizishbachas Tavoy. I love brach. If you want to daven the whole day, good for you. But just don't change the nusach of the tefillah. Halacha tzadivav alitein shalom l'rabbi k'derech shenaisim chaverim zeh l'zeh. You have to treat talmidei chachamim, your teachers, with respect. Don't greet your rebbe the same way you greet your fellow men. V'lo yachzir shalom. Do not respond k'derech shemachzirin l'shalom. Ela shoychel l'fana b'yir v'chavay. To your teacher, you shall bend down with fear and honor. V'yomer shalom olecha rabbi umayri. Halacha tzadi zayin. Masim chasash echad shesivu levnei shalo yehane yoyse midam in oylam. He told his child, don't indulge more than you should in the pleasures of this world. Vishlo ya'avru olav yoyse mishlo yishem yoyim beloy tainis. Every 30 days, make sure you fast. Uchshemes, and when this person died, hotzi uhu mikivroi vihi kuhu vinitztaru me'od al hadavar. What happened? When this person died, this holy person, who told his children, you should fast every 30 days, who told his children that do not indulge, there was a very strange thing happened. They were mevaze his body. When he died, somehow, some way, for some reason, his body was dug up, and it was disgraced. Why? I don't know the story. That's what it says. they beat his body. Vinitzaru me'oira ladavar. The children did not understand how to make sense of this. How could it be their father, who is such a holy person? And the proof that he was a holy person was his conduct. He fasted. The fact that he told his children to fast seems to indicate that he himself did this. The fact that he told his children not to be nene me'olam hazeh yoseh midai seems to indicate that the father also was careful not to be nene. And how did he suffer such disgrace? So it says something here very, very bizarre, which we are not shaykh to 800 years since the writing of this sefer. Ubo b'chaloim b'layla le'echa. This individual came to a dream to someone, it does not say who, one night, v'amaloi b'bnei shikishayisi roya sefarim nimchakim kiruim imdape svarim lo hayisi kaisram yachadu matzniam. This is quoted off, and I've seen this sefer chassidim. Mean that he was not nizar in the honor of sefarim. When he saw a sefer on the floor, he didn't pick it up. When he saw a sefer that was damaged, he did not repair it. He saw sefarim piled one upon the other in the derech bezoyin, he did not straighten the sefarim. If he saw a gemara on top of a chumash, he did not take the gemara off the chumash. He was nizar in the honor of Sifrei Kodesh. Can you see this quoted every so often in regard to the requirement to be careful, to be nizar al Sifrei Kodesh? I live by Rav Pav, I heard him say many times, if a sefer falls on the floor, what do you do? Does it make a sound? Good question. What do? You pick it up. When you pick it up, what do? So he says it is cited in the earliest sources. There are two minhagim, what you're supposed to do when you pick a sefer off the floor. Two seven hagim. One minhag is to kiss the sefer, to show their pain that the sefer is in a state of disgrace. You pick it up off the floor and you give it a kiss. The other minhag is not to kiss it. You open it up and learn from what it says in the sefer. Which of the two is greater? The second one, it goes without saying, it's a much greater thing to open up the sefer to show respect by opening the sefer and reading what it says in the sefer. Okay, this is something he writes, his fellow was disgraced because he did not have the proper zihirus on sefarim. In his example, he talks about old sefarim, which are sefarim nimchakim v'kiruim, that were ripped al dape sefarim with other books, and he did not repair them and put them back in their proper place. Umatzniyam, and he writes umatzniyam and put them away. They always complain in yeshivas and shuls, people, they take out sefarim and they don't put them back. And it's a zilzul, it's a disgrace for the sefarim to lie around on the table. It's a disgrace for the shul, the Beis HaKnesses, the yeshiva. You walk in, there are sefarim all over. And it's also a revelation. The people here have absolutely no good character. How can you take a sefer out of the shelf and not return it to its place? What kind of person are you? It's quite a statement. And here the sefer Chasidim says that this fellow, who was a very good person, he was a tzaddik, he fasted. He was nizer in indulging in the good things of this world to the degree where he raised children like this. And yet look at the suffering that he endured because of not being nizer in the Kvod Sarm. I told you this many times. I found it very, very interesting. There was once an organization that was very, very controversial. A type of yeshiva, very controversial type of yeshiva. They were doing things that raised the eyebrows of many traditional people. But they appear to be, on the outside, fine and good, very fine and proper. So I have a friend, and you know, he's very curious, and he went to their website. What's wrong with them? What is wrong with this yeshiva? Why is the Olam, why are the B'nai Torah so critical of this yeshiva? What's so bad? What's so, they do some things a little bit off beaten track. He went to the website and he studied the curriculum. He looked up the Rebbeim. He studied and studied. He could not find on the website a smoking gun. Okay, there were things that were definitely off the beaten track. But after everything is said and done, he could not find something that you can say is kineged, is kineged what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He found one thing that blew his mind. There was a gallery of photos. A photo gallery. Rabbi, there's a photo gallery. What? What? No women. No. No, no. This is not about women. No, no. There was a photo gallery of the yeshiva, of the rebbeim learning with the boys, and so on and so forth. And he found there one photo which he said to me, after spending an hour going through every single thing there is, this is the smoking gun. Interesting what he said. I told this to someone that blew their mind. And I don't think everyone here is going to appreciate what I'm telling you, but this is what he said. He found there a picture, boys learning together, boys, and in the background, right behind them, there was a sefer, a chumash, and on top of the chumash, resting very, very delicately, was a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke. No, no, listen. It's a very interesting thing. Listen, the Diet Coke. Okay? Everything is fine. The curriculum, the rebbeim, they do strange things, but you can't show me in Shulchan Aruch, anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, where it says that this is awesome. Everything is... And people were a little bit suspicious. And he saw there, in the Beis Medrash, on the table, a chumash and a Diet Coke. Canned Diet Coke resting. So he said to me, tell me, go into any yeshiva that you know of, where you learned. And just someone takes cameras, not snapping pictures. And a traditional yeshiva. Are you going to have a Diet Coke sitting on top of a chumash like that? Very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. A yeshiva bacha with all of his mishigasim and all of his problems and all of the averis that go on in the Beis Medrash, it's just not going to happen that someone's going to take a Diet Coke and deliberately put it on top of the chumash and walk away, and it's going to remain like that long enough for someone just to walk in and snap pictures, you can see a Diet Coke lying. He said to me, it shows there's something fundamentally wrong here. Very interesting. I said this to an older person. I told the story, and they were blown away. The person, he came to life when I told them the story. What? It's a very interesting story. There are certain things. Does it say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere you can't go put a can of soda on a chumash? Does it say that somewhere? It doesn't say anywhere. It's a very fascinating thing. Very. So he over here, he's writing here about the honor you give Sfarim. It says a lot about you. It says a lot about a person, the derech eretz you have for Sfarim. It really does. It's very, very interesting. You know, women are very good at this. Women are very makbid on this. Much more so than men. I found that very, very well. That women, you come and you're the safer. It's not just a matter of cleanliness. It's not just a matter of everything has to be. It's a certain, they have more respect. Men, for some reason, there's something lacking. I don't know what it is. It's just there's a certain real kavod. A sefer is a sefer. You have derech eretz for a sefer. There are rules and regulations of how you treat svarim. It's something very, very interesting that this guy came back in a dream to tell what's going on in the other world, why he was punished, because he was not nisar in the kvod of svarim. The very least we can do is we go to shul, take out a sitter, put it back. Take out a chumash, take out a gemara. The very least thing you can do is clean up your own mess. And especially when it comes to a sefer which has kavod. Halacha tzadi ches. Now this is a little more complicated. I don't really fully grasp what he means to say. Ehoiv es hashema usno es hamabakach. A person should love, another expression, a person should love maybe, and should hate mabakach. Who cares? Never say the word.
Don't say whatever. Now, whatever word. I hate that word. And here's the raya. Right.
Okay, yeah. Good.
It's a famous word.
Ehoi ves Hashemo. Love the maybes. Usno es hamavach. Who cares? Whatever. He explains. Perish. He explained. Let's see his explanation. Perish. Ehoi vloimar Shema. Maybe. Im oimar davar ze oy esse oy hoylich lasois o lirois davar ze oy eshma davar ze ni imois zimirois I'll listen to it. Maybe I'll go somewhere. Maybe I'll see something. Maybe I will listen to certain melodies. Oy elich letayel, or I will go for a walk. Shema yavoy li ligrim li dechet. It might not be the best thing for me to do. A person should know, what he's trying to say is a person should say, should weigh his deed. And the Devarim Pshutim should always think ahead. If I go to this event, if I go to this concert, if I go to this movie, where will it lead? Will it be constructive? Will it be a positive experience? Or will it be a negative experience? My friends are going. Should I go with them? What will the net result be? Think about it. Maybe it will not be the best thing for me. Maybe it will lead me in the wrong way. That's what a person should say. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't go. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go. It says Shema. Put yourself in a frame of mind of trying to be cautious. Don't live a life and say, ma bekach. So we'll do averos. So we'll speak a little lashon hara if we go here. So we'll see things that are not proper. Big deal. Who cares? I've done a lot worse. Who cares? Sino, to live with an attitude of big deal. Who cares? You should hate that attitude. You should love an attitude in life of, you know something? It might not be the in our best interest. Usino loimar, a person should hate an attitude to say, kima bekach, lisaper chidushim v'lishmoya divrei havai b'shrirus libi v'loi ovoi lideichet. Never say, big deal, who cares? I'm going to this event. I know there are people there that are going to speak the worst lashon hara. I know I'm going to see things there that are not good for my neshama. Ma bekach! Who cares? You should hate that approach. You should say to yourself, Shema. You know, maybe it's not the best thing. I don't have a choice. I have to go. But if you do have to go, it should go. You go with a heavy heart. It might not be the best thing what I'm doing. I have to be on guard. I have to protect myself, to take precautions, to be in that frame of mind. Next halacha, loy sachmoid. That is divrei. I think it's divrei Eliyahu zuta. I think it's the words of Eliyahu. What? Tana debe Eliyahu zuta. But we're missing over here the tana debe Eliyahu. I think it's a zohar. Tana debe.
That is the zohar.
And it's part of the zohar. Okay, so this is, I think right. Tana debe Eliyahu. Debe Eliyahu. Dal is debe. It's with a tough. With the top, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know. A lot of these things are Meir Yessi did some research. He found the Piskamim. He found some of the things that he quotes are off the beaten track. So I don't know. I think this comes from a Zohar, something along those lines. Next halacha leSachmoid. LeSachmoid is the last of the Aseres Hadibros. In the Aseres Hadibros is hidden all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. All of the commentators say the same thing. If loy sachmoid is the last of the Aseres HaDibrois, that indicates it is the most difficult. It is the mitzvah which is koilel, which incorporates all of the Aseres HaDibrois. Don't covet. It's extremely difficult to train yourself not to desire someone else's success. How does a person work? Does he maneuver and deal with the Isser Deraisa Loi Sachmoid? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Gra, but one of the big Gedolei Yisrael said that this is the hardest mitzvah in the entire Torah. Loi Sachmoid. When you witness someone's success and you feel you deserve the same thing, and you have not achieved that success, and he has, it causes you pain. That pain is called chemda, l'sachmoid. How do you hold back? How can you prevent that from happening? It's extremely difficult. And where does it say this in reference to? So there's a whole long list of things in the Torah list, and one of the items that the list is l'sachmoid eishes chavercha. Do not desire the wife of your friend. Ksiv, it says beloy vav. It says l'sachmoid. There is no vav between the men and the dalet, which allows us to read it l'sachmoid ashara. Ksiv beloy vav l'sachmoid ashara shelo liyapoy. So we darshin lo. We darshin it without the vav, loy sichameid, that's going to be the next drasha, don't cause others. Lo sichameid, sichameid. If there would be a vav, lo sachmod, a vav between the mem and the dalid, it can only mean one thing only. You should not desire someone else's property. But it doesn't say lo sachmo with a vav. It says lo sachmo without a vav, which allows us to pronounce it lo sichameid. Atzere, do not cause others to violate, to desire your property, your objects. Yours or someone else's. So in other words, a woman should not deliberately beautify herself in the presence of a man that's not her husband in order that he should desire her. That's what it says. Shelo liyapois atzmo, or in this case, I'm sorry, let's the other way over here, he says it both ways. First he says a man should not beautify himself, shelo liyapois atzmo, in a way, whether it's the way he dressed, or the way he talks, the way he behaves, where he appears, kidei sheyishar, he should be pleasant and pleasing be'enei eishes re'ehu, in the eyes of his friend's wife, so she should start thinking about him. V'yachnis ahava so v'yafyoi b'libo, and by doing so, the love for him will enter into her heart, and who knows where that will lead. That's lo sichameid. Do not do things that will make you beloved in the eyes of someone else, that they will desire you. I didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do an avera. But you've already laid out the foundation. You've done things. You've gone out of your way to dress a certain way, to wear cologne, to go to a place that you should not be. V'chulu, v'chulu. Everyone can use your own imagination. And the woman should, to endear yourself in the eyes of another woman, who is a married woman, that she should start thinking about you. Next halacha, lo siyech cholmeid le'eshes re'echa, it says also, do not desire your friend's wife. V'oid kri lo sichameid, lo siyech cholmeid le'eshes re'echa, or simply means not desire your eshes re'echa. Now he elaborates. Furthermore, do not cause the eishes chavercha to be pleasant in someone else's eyes. Shelo yishabeach isha yofa b'fnei chaveroi, shema yigror acharecha v'hoye v'chochet. He's darshing another drasha. Lo sachmoid eishes reyecha. Do not make lo sichameid eishes reyecha. Do not sing the praises of eishes reyecha in the presence of someone else, so that other person will now start thinking about her. Okay, simple. Should I say what? Okay, weiter. Those who know what he said. Those who don't know, better you don't know. Hamevin yavin. Shlo yigor. If you need an explanation, come to me later on. I'll tell you. Do not make another woman desirable in the eyes of your friends, because who knows where that will lead. Do not stare and enjoy her beauty. A person should not do this when it comes to a woman that's not married, that's not your wife, certainly if she's taken. If she's an Eishas Ish, Kadesh Tehana Miziv Shchina, Kadesh Tehana, so that you should enjoy. If you know, he's saying over here something very, very interesting, because a person who is Nene from the beauty of a woman that's not his wife is denying himself the ability to be nenet, to derive pleasure from the beauty of the Ziv Hashkina. Okay, there is something, concept, which we are not familiar with, that at some point in time in our existence, the neshama will be nene from the splendor, the beauty of the Shechina, the Ziv HaShechina, that can be denied, Rachmana Litzlan, or minimized if we are nichshol in deriving pleasure from the Ziv, the beauty of a woman that we're not supposed to be looking at. Okay, it's a very frightening concept. He could warm himself the Zvachim. These two are totally Zeh B'Zeh. Halacha Kuf. In ba mitzvah liyatcha shaloi b'kavana tismach v'sitein shevach v'chodoyo le'akadosh baruch hu sh'ina oiso liyatcha la'as oisa. An amazing concept. If you did not plan on doing a mitzvah and a mitzvah presents itself to you, you should rejoice. I'll give you an example. Mr. Mark Plotnick over here was once around the corner. There was a person he met and it said trying to get a car service, had already scheduled an Uber, and he saw this person, they needed a ride, and he said, where are you going? And they told him they're going to a location. Mr. Plotnick thought that the location was around the corner. So he said to the person, are you going? Cancel the Uber, I'm going to take you. Did a mitzvah, beautiful thing. The person gets into the car, and he asks the details, and suddenly he realizes the location is not here. It's far, far away. Okay, it wouldn't be a 5-minute drive. It would be a 2-hour drive. So do you know what he did? You know what he did? He rejoiced. He rejoiced. An opportunity that he never imagined would present itself. He took advantage of that opportunity. And he gave Shevach v'Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for presenting him with this mitzvah, this opportunity that he never in a million years dreamt would come into his hands. That's what happened. That is the proper way. A dugma, a proper way. A person should rejoice when you never thought that this mitzvah would come to you, and now look at that opportunity that I have. The Sefer Chassidim says a person should rejoice. Next, halach kaval. Lo yisartein adam kundrus al sefer. This is a very interesting halacha. I don't think we passed on this. I read up on this stuff. Very interesting stuff. You should not write. We write over here very fast. And people, we don't pass like this. I read a fascinating article about this not so long ago. If I want to write a chiddush Torah. I want to write something. I want to write down a chiddush. So what do most people do in yeshiva? They have a piece of paper. They put a piece of paper on their gemara, and on their gemara, they're writing their chiddushim. What right do you have to write your chidushim on a page of the Gemara? If you want to write, push the Gemara to the side, put the paper on the table, and write your chidushim, your notes. What? On the margin? That's different. The margin you're writing on, that's prop. That's not. But let's say you're writing on a piece of paper. So I can do it two ways. I can write it on the table, or I'm ready, the Gemara's here, I'll put the piece of paper on the sefer, and I'll write it on the paper, which is on top of the sefer. Are you allowed to do that? So he says, no, you're not. That is a zilzal in the kedusha of the sefer. Halacha l'maisa, it's permitted. Halacha l'maisa, we're very makel. Even Gedolei Yisrael do this. They hold that since you're writing for the purpose of learning and you're writing what it says in the sefer, there's no, and you're not, by doing so, you're not damaging, it's not perceived as a zilzal. Adrabo, it's a cover for the sefer, you're writing chidushim. Halacha l'maisa, we're very lenient in this matter, it's permitted, but he does say over here that it's osur. Lo yisarte, we don't pass him like many things that he says, but at least there is a lesson to learn of the kedusha of a sefer. Lo yisarteit adam kuntrus al sefer b'mnei shas sefer yesh le kedusha ulaze ein boy kedusha. Now, the truth over here is, and you're not writing. I'm not being accurate. Here he's discussing sirtut. Sirtut means to make the lines, the guides, making the guides to prepare for the writing that's going to take place later on. That is not the actual learning. When you're writing chidushim, that's called actually learning. When you're making the paper, when you're getting the paper ready by preparing the margins, by preparing the lines, that's a preliminary step to the actual writing and the learning. So that should not be done. Yisartet adam kundrus al sefer b'mnei shas sefer yesh le kedusha uleze ein boy kedusha v'kol shekein she'asa lisroik olav roishai afilu b'cholak shaboy. You're not allowed to take a nap on a sefer. Okay, people do this all the time. They do tachlin on their sefer, on their sitter. Okay, they do tachlin, forget about it. Then they take a nap in yeshiva, the yutaya, you have a shtender, yutaya, you need to take a little cat nap, a power nap, and you put your hands down. The problem is you squash, you're in a place where there's not too much room, and you want to just put your hand down on the sefer. Is that proper? So he says it's not proper. It's not. Even if you're putting on you're not going to drool, I guess. You're covering your shirt, your jacket. It's not proper to use a sefer as your pillow, even if you're doing it to take a cat nap. Now, this also, you should be aware that many poskim are lenient. They're lenient. If you're in a situation where you need to take a cat nap, and you're in a very confined environment, as is very common in yeshiva, you can't just go spread yourself out, and you really can't keep your eyes open. You really need to close your eyes for 5-10 minutes, and the only convenient place is to do tachlin on your gemara. More or less, it's mutter.
And even
tachlin, we learn from this over here. He has osser. He uses very strong words. Osser, osser, osser. Like I said many times, we don't pass like most of the things he says here. Not many things. However, at least he come away with a degree of sensitivity in these matters. I have a new shaila, which I don't have an answer for. I sometimes sit in a place also that's very confined, and I like to take notes. And my new method of taking notes for almost the last year, I'm blown away. I take notes on my phone. I use Google. I've tried every single that is out there to everyone. I try probably 20, 30 of them. Obsessed with trying to find the perfect note-taking app that fits my needs. I currently come around to only using called Google Keep. Look it up. Google Keep, for my purposes, is the best. And it changed my life. Taking notes, being able to take notes on this device. It's just a whole new world for me. And it's just amazing. It's amazing that the technology on this teeny little thing. And my shaila is, am I allowed to take notes by putting this on a sefer? Because many times that's really the only convenient way to do it. I'm learning over here. I have to go and copy what it says. No, safari is to look up things. I have to sometimes write a few words. Safari is just to look up. That's doing research. I'm talking about I want to write something. I want to go. That's not called a real sefer. You have Kol HaTorah Kula, only Safari. You have Kol HaTorah Kula. Yeah, there's an unlimited access. You have Kol. So question is, what status does this have regarding putting this on a sefer? Okay, we just read. He writes, taking a piece of paper and making margins in preparation for writing is osur. He doesn't discuss actually writing. Many gedolim deal with that, and they paskin it's mutar. Take a piece of paper and to put it on your Gemara, on your Sefer, and to write is mutter. Question. I have a new device. Okay, this device is used for many different types of things. So what is the halachic status of taking this device and putting it on top of the Gemara, on top of a Sefer, on top of a Chumash, and in entering data, entering chidushim, entering notes on top of the Sefer? Is that derech eretz for the sefer, yes or no? Well, guess what? The Rambam didn't discuss this. As far as I know, the Rambam did not have a smartphone. Okay, it's a new shaila, new innovation. In most yeshivas, they would throw you out of yeshiva if you have a smartphone in the yeshiva itself. Today, they don't let that. What do you need a smartphone for? You're younger than 100%. What do you need a smartphone for? Today, it's changing just a little. I've seen the barrier already breaking down just a little bit. It's not as chomor. It's a new world today. It's a new generation. The Rebbeim, a lot of the Rebbeim do it. I mean, because they prepare, they're ready, they're young people. They're all in Ohio, they're all much more sophisticated. So when their students start want to do it, what do they tell them? They understand differently. Not so long ago, the Rebbeim never knew from this. So they see someone that's a distraction, and it is a distraction. It's a big distraction, no question about it. Who says they're taking notes? Maybe you're doing, who knows what you're doing? Okay, not so pashut at all. Don't second guess anyone. But this is a new shaila. What status does this have with regard to the honor of Sifrei Kodesh? Are you allowed to put this on a sefer when you are using it for the purpose of copying, of writing chidushim? What's the halacha? Okay, it's very convenient to use this. Rabashkin said this. Okay, even though I'm not such a big fan of Rabashkin, he made a very good point. Rabashkin said that, you know, people today, they use the smartphones as a sidurim, especially when you go to a simcha. It's so convenient. You go to a sheva brachas. You have a ma'ariv. You won't even say the benching. You don't need benches anymore. Today it's a machai, you need a bench. They go to a restaurant, you go to a shed brachas, you go somewhere, they bring out a bencher, a dirty bencher. It's the wrong nusach. It's a nusach from a nusach I never saw before, no offense over there. Okay, nusach I'm not familiar with. It's so convenient. I just open up the phone and you bench like a bench. You have the whole benching. And everyone has a smartphone, take out the bench and have a ma'ariv. So it's interesting. Did you ever see someone? Rabashkin said this. It's very interesting what he said. Doesn't take away from the convenience. Did you ever see someone? They finish davening, ma'ariv or benching. They kiss it, right? You finish. Oh, I finished. Finish. You close it and you kiss it.
You shouldn't shut it off because
you don't kiss your smartphone when you finish davening ma'ariv. When you finish benching, it's very interesting. You talk or don't.
Because there are so many other things in it.
Right. So what does that show? So what does that show? So what does that reveal to you? What does that say? Exactly. Exactly. But yet you use it, and the time has come where we're using it naturally for more and more things. You go to a simcha, everyone takes out their phone and they daven ma'ariv. And believe me, it's much better. Not that I'm saying that it's a great ma'ariv, but it's a lot better than it used to be. When you go to a wedding and there's no benchers, and there's no ma'ariv, especially ma'ariv, and people are just... You're moving your lips. Come on. Moving your lips. Come on, what are you saying? You're really daven ma'ariv? Come on. Now, people take it out. And I don't know if they're davening every word, but it's certainly a lot better than it was only 3-4 years ago. Okay? There's nothing to talk about. But yeah, when you close it, you're not kissing it. You're not kissing it. It's not a davar shebekedusha. It's not a davar shebekedusha. So now take that, and you're in yeshiva, and you want to write down your chidushim. You have something very important you need to write. You need a copy. You have something you want to write down. So until now, take a piece of paper. You put, there's not so much room, so it's convenient to write on the Gemara. It's smucha. Now, I want to do the same thing with this. What's the halacha? I don't know. It's not so simple. Is it mutter? Is it osir? Question. You put some Seamus? What?
Writing in the Gemara is not an issue?
Well, it depends. Not necessarily. No. If you purchase the Gemara for the purpose of writing notes in the Gemara, all the Gedolei Yisrael did this. The oldest. That's why they're margins. Why they're margins?
The margins
are there to write. I don't know. I'm making up. But the margins are there. Some of the Minchas Chinuch. The whole Minchas Chinuch was written on a margin. Minchas is one of the most famous Sfarim in the world. It was written on a margin. The Minchas Chinuch. He wrote many, many Sfarim. They were all burnt in the fire. He wrote incredible chesvarim, and the whole thing went up in smoke. So he was depressed. He went to his rabbi before they had psychologists. You go to the rabbi for psychology. So he went to the rabbi and he told the rabbi, you know, I have a lot of chidush that will destroy the fire. What should I do? So the rabbi says, is anything left? Yeah, one little kuntris. I wrote it on the margins. I didn't have any money, so I wrote it on the margins of paper. Print it. It'll be matzliach. The Kachava, the Minchas Chinuch is the world famous sefer, accepted by every branch of Klal Yisrael. Whether you're a Sephardi, Ashkenazi, a Taimani, what? Who's what?
Heller?
I don't know. He
wrote. He also wrote the Machtes HaShekel.
I don't know. Okay, so these at least we extract the honor that we are entitled to give Sfarim. Don't put a Diet Coke on a Chumash and a smartphone. Has become now a very complicated object in dealing with using it in regard to the honor of Sfarim. When your smartphone is finished, what do? You get a new model? It goes in the garbage, right? You don't put it in shame. It's never, it's a chefsa shol mitzvah. I use it for so much time. You know how many maisim toivim, good things you can use the phone for? How many phone calls you can make to the mechazik people? How many mitzvahs? You can use mamish kula kedusha. And yet, where does it go? In the garbage. You get the next model. Upgrade. How do you deal with this? I don't know. It's something which has to be discussed. It's like a very short break. I want to finish up afterwards. I was really planning on doing something about Pesach, but I came across some very fascinating things about Birchus Kohanim. I wanted to spend a few more minutes mashlim what we learned yesterday about Birchus Kohanim.